Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com and from Outkick 360 as well. You can check out on 94.9 The Fan every day from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. PK, what's going on? How we doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, PK, what do you make of this debacle at right tackle right now for the Titans? And with Dylan Radins moving inside the other day at practice, what do the Titans do with him for the rest of this camp here? Is he getting reps inside in your mind? Should he get more reps as a swing tackle? How do you handle Dylan Radins moving forward if you're the Titans?
Well, he's gotten a lot of reps outside, I won't be surprised if he's back at tackle today, but that certainly felt like the end of his campaign for this starting job, that he was all guard in their first practice back from a second preseason game in which he didn't play very well. John Robinson has just done horribly since Jack Conklin, and I didn't object to letting Jack Conklin walk, given the money that he got in Cleveland. You just have to do a much better job replacing him. And it's not just Isaiah Wilson and now Dylan Radins. He brought in Kendall Lamb, who was supposed to be an option last year and was completely insufficient even as a sixth offensive lineman. So he's really having trouble with that spot. And, they've invested big money and big draft capital in it. So I think Radins, if he's not starting, which it looks like he won't be, and he certainly doesn't deserve based on his resume this preseason so far, is this ideally the sixth offensive lineman who can play either tackle spot and probably either guard spot if he's called on.
If Radins just would have said, "Mr. Kuharski, I want that job," it'd probably be a totally different situation right now. But
if he
did not when you gave him that opportunity.
His personality, to me, Joe, is part of the issue. He's never come out and said, "I got to go win that job. That job belongs to me. It's a second round pick. I'm a guy who needs to start." And I don't think it's ridiculous at all to say that what he's expressed publicly does not show the mindset that I want from a second-round pick who a team is counting on. So you can laugh it off, but I don't know why they're drafting guys who come in and behave so meekly as opposed to saying, they drafted me to be the right tackle and I have every intention of being the right tackle. And I think the lack of that mentality is a big part of Dylan Radins' problem.
It's my fault if this gets totally derailed because I just had to take a shot at you there. But Taylor Lewan is a total goofball who was a Pro Bowler. Jack Conklin did not have any sort of big personality. He's a tremendous player. Dennis Kelly is a quiet guy. Petit Frere is a quiet intellectual guy. I mean, if you can play the position, you can play the position. Whatever. Let me get to the next question.
Quickly to counter. You're correct about all those things. Right. I'm not saying he's got to have a big, boisterous personality. I'm saying given the chance, he needed it would give me a lot more confidence about the guy if he sounded like a confident guy that expected to do what he was drafted to do, and he's never sounded like that.
So Petit Frere, you expect him to be the starting right tackle? Do you expect John Robinson to jump all over somebody in 6 days? And what's your feeling for just what right tackle will be and how problematic it might be for this offensive line, especially early in the season?
Yeah, I think Petit Frere is going to be the starter, and I don't really see a scenario. I mean, I think they need to pick somebody up off of cuts to add to the depth, which is really pretty bad. But also, Titans fans just get this idea like they're going to pick some magical solution who's going to start, 2 weeks later. I think we're hard-pressed to see that. I mean, they've invested. You've got a second-rounder there and a third-rounder there. They need to get these guys going. Lawan should be able to live on an island, and Petit Frere would have, the bulk of the help from the tight ends and the running backs and the like. So I would think they go that direction. If they do bring in some kind of veteran who's got a chance to start, I would think it would be a while before they felt good about putting him in the lineup. And in the meantime, Petit Frere would have a chance to settle down and solidify that job. Also, Joe, I think we're underplaying concerns about Nate Davis. We haven't seen him. We don't know what's up with him. So there's a question mark there. And from Raiden's, God forbid something be up with Davis. But Raiden's could be in the lineup as a guard because they got no depth there.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, what have you made of the camp for Treylon Burks thus far? And looking at what we know thus far, how do you kind of forecast what it means for his role in this offense to begin the season?
Well, he's got to be a top four guy, but he's not starting on opening day based on the way things have gone. He leveled off a little bit, and I don't know why Vrabel made it sound like it would be a crazy idea to force feed Burks in a preseason game, but I think that's part of what they should be doing to get his confidence up and to let him get some NFL feel. I mean, 1 4-yard pass in 2 games is not doing much to help the guy progress. He's been better than a lot of Titans first round picks through camp, and he's been out there even as he suffered this minor leg injury that resulted in him pulling out of one of those practices against the Bucks early. But I think the way that they don't let their outside linebackers leave the field, They have their wide receivers leave the field a lot, and I think they'll rotate through Westbrook Akine and Woods and Phillips and Burks to start off with, and maybe deeper than that. McMath probably is earning himself some snaps in there. So those five are probably going to get snaps, and they are not in a hurry with Treylon Burks, I don't think. Hopefully he'll be part of that rotation and do well enough to earn, more and more snaps as he goes along. But I don't think you're going to see like Woods and Burks with clear-cut the most snaps at receiver on opening day.
So got some news coming out, Paul, soon. And I know you were in a meeting yesterday on the Hall of Fame coach contributor finalist situation. You want to break some news on our show right now? That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that would be sweet, and it would be really stupid. It'll come out at the bottom of the hour, so right at 8:30. It was something to be involved in that meeting for the first time. Just 12 voters on that committee, and everybody taking a turn to present somebody that's on that list, the final 12. So you could ask me anything about Rue Nartledge, who created Monday Night Football for ABC, went to a little school called Columbia in New York City. And I can tell you everything you want to know about the guy who I presented. I don't know that you'll be hearing his name at the bottom of the hour.
Well, let me follow up with just the the Bud Adams potential at some point, because I've heard a pretty compelling – I've heard you talk about it. I think we've talked about it. You know, I mean, there's a pretty compelling case for him given his history of the creation of the AFL. But there's resistance, or there's maybe lack of support, maybe from some people who might actually be able to make something happen there.
He did not make the final 12 here. He was in the final, there were 28 or 29 because of ties when it was supposed to go down to 25. I thought he would make the 12. He did not. Art Modell did. And I think that both of those guys, my sense from fellow voters, is that they've each disqualified themselves with their move. And that was my initial feeling, Joe, about Bud, was that for all that he did, and I've come around on this, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but for all that he did, not just with the move, but he became a non-entity in the NFL after the move, because he basically gave his vote to the league. He, like, went along with the league on anything after the Titans relocated in exchange for the league kind of approving of the relocation. But, you know, he did amazing things in terms of founding the AFL and facilitating the merger between the NFL and the AFL. Art Modell did amazing things for the NFL with the TV contract. But I think the attitude of everyone is, or the vast majority of people, is that they kind of, well, what they did in vacating very good NFL cities and crushing fan bases in Houston and Cleveland, respectively, kind of takes away or cancels out some of their good works.
PK, if you're John Robinson, how concerned are you about the play of Logan Woodside over the last 2 weeks?
I don't think they're as concerned as the public is concerned, because he's played late and been under intensive pressure in both games. I certainly would like for him to look better. But, Joe, I think you'd agree here. Like, out of those two games and what I've seen around the league, teams have deeper – their third-string pass rushers in this league are far better than the third-string offensive linemen. And that's certainly the case here in Nashville with the Titans. And so – he's not getting any protection to do anything. Look, I mean, he's a very pedestrian quarterback who's going to, you know, run the offense effectively, but he's not going to push the ball downfield. He's going to hand it off a ton to Derrick Henry and throw short. You know, the question is, how much safer do they feel with that than Malik Willis? And I think maybe they still do. I mean, look, Malik Willis is getting too much hype off of making three plays a game in the last two games, because those plays look really good and they make nice highlights. But he's been terrible. I mean, he made progress from one game to the next, but we're talking glacier movement. And this is what we should have expected. The guy played at a nothing school where he was the best athlete by a mile, and he's got a ton to learn. And I think Titans fans are thinking, well, he'd come in for Tannehill and he'll make a couple plays. Well, he'll make a couple plays, and he'll not make a lot of plays based on what we're seeing. And I think that's a big concern. So I'm not going to be surprised if they keep three, or if Woodside ends up on the practice squad. But I think if Tannehill went down, you know, for a short period of time, I don't know that they'd be comfortable with Willis this early.
No, I wouldn't think so. Real quick, PK, Farley, McCreary, how do you view that situation right now? What do you think of both those guys?
Farley's interesting, right? He's been up and down. He seems to have a good head on his shoulders about what goes wrong, but he seems to me to be like a hot and cold guy. I feel almost like he's one of those quarterbacks. And Tannehill's like this. You can kind of tell in the first two series if Tannehill's got it today or not, right? A little bit like a starting pitcher sometimes. And I feel like Farley's like that. Like, some of those practices, Joe, we're out there and the guy's breaking up everything. And then another practice, you know, he's getting beaten multiple times. It's a little bit like a yo-yo. I think McCreary's been a little bit more consistent, though he's missed some time. I don't know if it's going to be a straight up, like, this guy starts for sure and that's it. You know, I wonder if they won't mix and match based on matchups or based on what kind of practice week a guy has, which Mike Vrabel hasn't been shy about doing with people in some spots. So I don't know if we're going to get a clear declaration there of who wins. And I'm very curious about the trickle-down to Molden, who, you know, played some good football for him last year, but is not one of their best three cornerbacks if all three of those guys, Fulton, Farley, and McCreary, are healthy, I don't think.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, thanks, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks.
Absolutely. Paul Kaharsky, our guest. Yep. Here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 535 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So I thought an interesting point made by Kaharsky there in the last segment, Joe, and I'm gonna throw it to you. Who do you think are the best three options at corner right now for the Titans? If they're taking on the Giants today, who do you think's playing at corner when it's go time and they need to have a money play, 2 minutes left in the game? Who are the three corners that you're going with? And is Elijah Molden in that group?
Yeah, you know, that's – I don't know that I agree with PK on that one. I've been kind of bullish on Molden having a really good year, the way things kind of progressed for him last year. But he's been hurt a lot, so that's given McCreary the opportunity to go work inside a ton. McCreary's worked inside way more in camp than outside still, although he's now getting more work outside. That's a really tough question. I think that we've talked about the difference. Molden, who's been talked about as a guy who could bump back to safety if you needed to, he is forceful, and you know, that's not the most important trait of a cornerback, but it comes in handy. It comes into play, obviously, for run defense, and it comes into play as a blitzer. And again, I think he's good, but McCreary's been really good too. I'm just talking through not having a great answer for you. I do think it's – I mean, look, McCreary is impressive, and maybe he ends up being a better option than Farley outside. Maybe he ends up being a better option than Molden inside.
I was going to say – okay, so let me pose it a different way. Is Farley a part of the best three? If you know, Paul Kaharsky just talked about the inconsistency that's been there with Farley. Could the best three corners for the Titans be Fulton, Molden, and McCreary?
They could, and I think exactly what Paul said there, and we've talked about it too, is just the matchup. Being able to adjust to matchups is a great thing. If you're Mike Vrabel, Shane Bowen, and you're like, okay, this week, yep, we're going to configure it this way. And that's just – if you can actually do that and feel great about it, that's a fantastic thing as a coach. I mean, everybody wants it to be, this is the starter, this is the backup, here's the starting 11. Well, Vrabel, I think it's pretty clear. He's done some interesting things. And I say he because I still look at this defense as Vrabel is ultimately the head coach. You know, he's the head coach. He's a defensive guy. I still look at this as Vrabel's defense, right?
Not giving Bowen credit. Last year, you were all over Schwartz. Now you're all over Vrabel.
Nothing.
Shane Bowen can do is good enough.
I know. Last year it was every day. It was like, so Jim Schwartz, man, he must have had a huge hand in that day yesterday. No, but they let's put Vrabel and Bowen together. Love to mix and match and use different personnel groupings and game to game different groupings. And so I think if they have four guys that they feel like they can just move around, and McCreary's a chess piece, as a rookie, which is really impressive. They feel good inside or outside. That's a great benefit. So I think it would be matchup dependent. So that's just another way for me to dance around not answering the question, because I don't know. I look at Farley and I still think he just has it's just that size and speed together and ability to get to some balls that most people can't. And it's actually so different from McCreary, who obviously the big knock on him is the lack of length. But hey, if you're step for step with someone all the time and you're battling them in physical and you make plays, okay. Yeah, I want that guy in the field too. It's become kind of like the offensive line has become, I don't know about worst case scenario, but not a good scenario. You know, the fears have been realized. I feel like the corner situation is close to best case, just in terms of it was a big question, and Farley's been out there every day, which on its own is a big deal. Who knew if Farley was going to be out there every day?
For sure.
And now McCreary as a rookie looks like a really good pick at this point. Now, he'll get torched by someone early in the season, and, you know, then we'll see how he reacts to it. And the fans, you know, I mean, that's inevitable. But I do agree with Paul on Farley. Like, it's not totally like good day, bad day, but it does seem like the good can sometimes multiply in itself and the bad too. And as a cornerback in this league, you got to have that. You know what you got to have, that next play mentality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of being a cornerback in this league. Look, I think it's pretty clear both of them are going to play a lot. What's really interesting to me is just McCreary being able to handle both this early, like playing inside, playing outside as a rookie before he's even played in a game yet. Like them trusting him to do that and to put all that on him. Like, I think that speaks very well of where he is and how they view him with this team. I'm interested in the game. Like, when they take on the Giants, is he going to get snaps at both? Like, are they going to want to, once the games start, have a plan for him to just be the outside guy or just be the inside guy when he's coming in? Is he going to be the relief at both spots? Like, we've seen Chris Jackson play inside at times too. Like, how exactly are they going to handle that with McCreary? I think when the actual games start, trying to determine where he's going to be and what that looks like in a rotation where I think he's going to play a lot in the game, whether he's starting or not, I think he's going to play a lot. Where exactly is that going to be? I think it's really interesting with McCreary.
Yeah, and I also think if they do look at it more like the traditional, okay, Farley has been with the ones, McCreary is now getting snaps with the ones, it's a competition. If they look at it in a more traditional way, I think it's ongoing. You know, I think this week's, I think today's important. You know, you get some, what are we looking at with the Cardinals' availability at receiver? I mean, no Hopkins, obviously, right?
Well, he's suspended, but is he practicing?
That's true.
I don't know. Like, he's not going to play in the game, but I don't know if he's practicing or not.
Yeah, no one covers the Arizona Cardinals, and it's problematic. Well, that would be a great look. And so here's a great example. I mean, to me, if you're playing the Cardinals in a game that DeAndre Hopkins can play in, I mean, like, Farley's the obvious choice, right?
I would think so, just the size and speed.
You don't feel great about anybody against DeAndre Hopkins if he's at his best, but, I mean, that, like, Farley is certainly the better matchup than McCreary for him, right? You would think.
Yeah.
So there's a good example just week to week. But if it's
Hollywood Brown.
See, you know, there's more McCreary.
Yeah.
So there we go. It's just matchups. But this is a big week, and I think it is very interesting to see who gets what reps between those two and where. And then Molden, too. But, again, I think it's a good problem to have.
Coming up next, we'll have your first opportunity to join the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League coming up on the other side. Looking forward to that. Also, we'll get to maybe some fantasy football sleepers on the Titans. That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And today is a big day, Joe Rex Road. The beginning of our second journey in the Robbie and Rex Road fantasy football season begins today. We're going to have a 12-team fantasy football league, which we did last year as well. 8 spots are available. So myself, Joe, Michelle, and Brennan Rex Road, all occupying spots in this league. We have 8 spots up for grabs, and we're going to be giving those away every day over the course of the next 2 weeks. We will have our draft coming up 2 weeks from today on Wednesday, September the 7th. So we're still finalizing details of exactly where that's going to be. Got a good idea, but finalizing the details of exactly where that's going to be. We would love for you to be there in person, but we will be having the draft online as well. So that is the state of our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Joe, I'm hoping it's a little bit more competitive than it was last year, because I'll be honest with you, I basically just kicked y'all's butts from start to finish last year. 12-2.
Not from start.
12-2 in the regular season, rolled through the playoffs. It was a little bit of bullying going on last year in the Fantasy Football League.
Michelle has a point, though. She did beat you. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I was
0-1. Week 1, baby. Week 1.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I was 11-1. So we'll see what happens on that front. Not a great year from Rex Road.
Yeah, Rex, I think you got dead last.
is that right? I was bad, right? I'm trying to remember who I had on my team. Where did I go wrong?
I think the whole roster.
I don't even know who you had at QB. Derrick Henry.
You did have Henry, and he got hurt.
Yeah, and that kind of hurts. Yeah, see, it's not my fault. I'm still the reigning Titans Media League champion 1 year removed, though. So
yes.
I'll cling to that.
Yeah, so we're going to give these spots away in our Fantasy Football League via the text line, and you have to answer these trivia questions. We're going to have different categories every day, but today I thought it'd be good to start with a Titans category. So hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. If you know the answer to this question, the first correct answer will be a member, the inaugural member of the 2022 Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. This kicker, in January of 2021, sent the Titans to their first AFC South title in more than a decade. This kicker, in January of 2021, sent the Titans to their first AFC South title in more than a decade. If you know the answer to that question, if you know who the kicker was, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Hopefully, Joe Rexrode, everyone knows this answer. It's someone who should live in Titans lore forever.
I'm very disappointed in the wrong answer that just came through.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Well, there's some wrong answers here. Man.
Ooh, look at that. Wow, multiple different kinds of wrong answers. Multiple. I got 3 different wrong answers.
Boy.
I thought that this was going to be a gimme. Okay, well, I think we may have a right one in there. Who's Michelle, are you running this?
She is.
I can't keep
I'm
up.
I'm running the show, guys, because I'm the commish again.
Yeah,
I have
is.
Elected myself as that, but we do have a winner.
Alex, our winner on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Sam Sloman, the kicker for the Titans in January of 2021, and that was a bit of a tricky part of the question there because it was the 2020 season, but 2021 is when this kick happened. Sam Sloman, the kicker that sent the Titans to their first division title in more than a decade. So congratulations to Alex, our inaugural member of the Robbie and Rexro 2022 Fantasy Football League.
Congrats, Alex.
I almost couldn't keep up.
It was tricky.
There's a lot of text rolling in. We will have 7 more spots to give away, and we will do that throughout the next couple of weeks here on the show as well. Joe, as you look at the Titans, speaking of fantasy football, everybody knows about Derrick Henry. You know, Robert Woods is kind of an intriguing guy this year heading in there, but who are some guys on the Titans you think could be a little bit under the radar as it comes to fantasy football this season and their production on the field?
Well, I would not look at the Titans as other than Derrick Henry, a team that you're going to see much at all in early rounds of fantasy football drafts. But, I mean, any football team has people who are going to produce. You can get some value. First of all, I will refer you to at The Athletic. We did 32 teams with the most significant fantasy development of camp. So, and this ran a couple days ago. So I will ask, if you haven't read it, what would you guess that I said?
The most significant one of camp? I will just take a total shot in the dark and go Chigakonkwo.
That's a good guess. I just don't he's like a lot of people in this roster. Like, I feel pretty good about at some point, you know, Robert Woods should be drafted.
Well, for sure.
And I think Austin Hooper, as a backup tight end for somebody, you know, I think that's not a bad pick. But my most development in camp, which I guess I sort of read the question as something that you weren't anticipating. Oh, it doesn't necessarily have to be that.
Well, that's how I read it, and that's why I said Okonkwo.
Yeah. Well, I put Dontrell Hilliard.
Okay.
Because in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but in my opinion, if I draft Derrick Henry, and I am a believer in handcuffing if you can in fantasy drafts, I'm going to pick Dontrell Hilliard over Hassan Haskins as the handcuff. Now, that's an interesting question. If Derrick Henry gets hurt, Dontrell Hilliard, I think he's going to be really good as a third down back. I think you're going to see Dontrell Hilliard make plays. I think it's been, you know, there's another guy who has, you know, chemistry with Tannehill. I know it's, you know, it's a running back coming out of the backfield, but there are choice routes, and there is a way to distinguish yourself in that role and make some significant plays. And I think Dontrell Hilliard is going to make some plays this year. I think he's going to be an absolute upgrade over Jeremy McNichols. And I also think that he's the second best runner of the football on the team, and that if it came down to it, he would be the choice, not Haskins right now, to carry the mail in the absence of Derrick Henry. I would handcuff with Hilliard over Haskins. Again, I don't think Haskins looked bad or anything like that, but I think Hilliard has really popped. So that's what I went with. So we'll see.
Okay.
Well, frankly, you don't want to see. You don't want to find out if I'm right, obviously, because that's a bad deal for the Titans, and I know they got the one seed without Derrick Henry, but it's a bad deal for the Titans if we find out. But that's where I would go. Also, if you do need a way late, you know, flyer on a third, you know, in a PPR league, the guy, I think Hilliard's going to get a fair amount of work this year catching the ball in the backfield.
I'll give you the guy that I can almost guarantee you in most people's fantasy drafts around the country won't get drafted, and that's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Like, he could,
yep.
You know, I don't know if I'd ever start him, but, you know, for a depth guy on the bench later in the later rounds, you know, he's gonna be a starting receiver for the Titans this year. How many balls is he going to catch? I don't know. But I feel pretty good about him making a significant impact on this Titans offense. And I can pretty much tell you around the country, most people have no idea who Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is. And you could probably get him a little bit later in some of your drafts.
No, he is absolutely way late in the draft. Not at all a bad choice, you know. Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought this up. Let's go to NBC Sports Edge Football.
Okay.
Someone tweeted this at me, and it says, the headline is, Westbrook-Ikhine to start season as Tennessee wide receiver 2. Now, let me read the read the analysis. Quote, the Athletic's Joe Rexrod believes wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine will start for the Titans early in the season. Here's more analysis. Treylon Burks remains down bad. Burks has played extensive preseason snaps, the second and third string. A clear sign the rookie is a long way to go. Team preseason doesn't matter is in shambles. Burks appears a little more than a bench stash for the time being. Maybe a little bit dramatic there on the down bad. And he's like, Burks has gotten snaps with the ones too. Now, he in the preseason games, they're putting him out there, getting him as much work as they can get him. This is an accurate headline, at least. Westbrook-Ikhine is wide receiver 2. And you take it from Joe Rexrod.
Joe Rexrod, baby.
He's that's first day of school many years. I got the Rexrod.
I don't understand that. There's an E.
Well, they wrote it. They spelled it without the E, so at least then you do say Rexrod. But, yeah, I know. It is weird that educators would not go long O when there's an E on the end.
Listen, I don't even want to hear about last names on the first day of school, guys.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a very fair point. What's the best one you got?
Nozovich. Knozovich. So many.
I could see where people may think that the K is silent.
Oh, everybody thinks the K is silent. Yeah. Nezovich, so many different forms, guys. Every single day, every year.
Very few people have screwed up Stanley. I'll just put it that way. Very few people. Mine is
real quick.
The one that bothers me is the it doesn't really bother me, but it happens a lot. Is the misspelling of Robbie. A lot of people go IE. It's Y. That's how you properly spell it.
Well, we're having Robbie Weinstein on later this week, and he spells with an IE.
I know.
So it's a personal preference. Real quick, by the way, just totally off topic before we go to break, I got some buddies who know a little bit too much about herpes I've discovered today, so you just never know what you're going to learn on the show.
This can be quite the educational program. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair. That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair this week. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Okay, guys, what are we starting with today, sports or non-sports? Let's go non-sports. Okay. I'm sure a lot of people have seen this viral video of the guy at a baseball game, and he puts the straw through his hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
And then puts the hot dog in the cup of beer. So,
it's disgusting.
That prompted me for this question. What is a really strange food combo that people make fun of you, whether it be a weird sauce that you use on something, or people make fun of you for eating that?
This is a good question. A weird combo that people make fun of me on. Well, I mean, there are some people that, like, if you just put, you know, ketchup on a brat, Rex Road would lose his mind. So it could be as simple as that.
Already has lost his mind. Yeah.
That's criminal.
You guys want me to start with this?
Yeah, go ahead with this one. Let me think about
this. Okay, so Robbie kind of touched on it, but I eat ketchup on absolutely everything. Hot dogs, eggs, sandwiches, like sweet potato fries. Like, I dip absolutely everything in ketchup.
Okay.
And yeah. I get looks. People, when I'm like, can I have ketchup, to the waitress, they kind of look at me like, what are you going to use that for? But I eat it on absolutely everything. But I will say I'm better than my little sister, who eats it on, like, literally, like, chicken marsala or something.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, the ketchup on eggs thing has always been I know some people who do that too. And it's just like, man, hot sauce, yes. Ketchup. Oh, that's a toughie.
I think mine.
You ready, Robbie?
Well, yeah, I am. Mine also involves eggs. You ever had ranch dressing with eggs?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's good, man. Disgusting.
It's pretty good, dude. I tried it one time. One of my friends in college, like, that was his thing. And I used to look at him like he had, like, four heads. And then I tried it one day, and I was like, you know what? It's not half bad. Ranch dressing with scrambled eggs with cheese. It's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's I can't get there, man. A few things.
Let's give it a shot.
I don't think I will. A few things come to mind for me. One, olives and mushrooms I like on just about, like, I can put olives in any salad. Ugh. Or just about anything, green or black olives. Like, my favorite pizza is green and black olives on it with mushrooms with pepperoni. But as far as there's a lot for me, there's mushrooms, you know, peanut butter on a burger is definitely something that, but I mean, that, like if
it's good.
if a place makes it, another thing that, that we did in college, which is not really answering this question, but for whatever reason, it came to mind, eat a whole bunch of jalapenos in the cafeteria and then slam a glass of milk and you will get a wicked buzz for about 20 seconds. Pro tip from me.
That's really concerning.
Full of educational advice today here on the program from Joe Rexroad. Beautiful stuff.
Let me tell you something. A lot of things happened
at Michigan State.
A lot of great education going on there.
Can't wait for you to be back on campus this weekend, Joe. Switching
Could
to sports. So in honor of high school football coming back, end of last week and this week, it made me think about, you know, what were your biggest moments, your claim to fame as an athlete, as a young kid, or in high school, college, can be intramural, pretty much anything.
Okay.
What is your claim to fame?
Well, Rexroad, you want to start? Because I feel like yours maybe begins and ends with the flag football between Michigan and Michigan State and the newspaper staff.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you can stand out as an athlete if you're playing flag football against a bunch of college newspaper dorks. Although my peak as an athlete was when I dunked, and I've called his name out. I feel so bad. Kevin Jones is one of our best athletes, and I dunked on his head. It was actually in college, but it was in the summer, the outdoor courts at our high school.
Yeah.
Again, if I had video, it probably would just be like a guy just kind of putting the ball down. But in my mind, I crammed it. And I said, I will say that the whole playground was like, oh, it was just like this whole thing. And then he said, bleep you, Rexroad. So pick up, you know, I think that's some of your best moments, right? Is like the pickup games where you just.
Where no one sees it, so we don't actually know if it happened.
I got a lot of witnesses, all of whom were like, oh, at the time. So that's what I got going for me.
Well, there's
not much.
There's a few I could go through with, like, you know, I pitched some pretty good games in high school. Basketball, I had some good games in high school. Like the most random one was we did like an intramural basketball tournament my senior year of high school, and they had like a bunch of teams play. Anyway, my team ended up getting through the final, and we played the final game in front of the whole school. Like, they got out of class to come watch it, and we had like 1,500 people in school, and it was way more rowdy than any other basketball game we ever played in, and I put up like 38 in that game, and
That's
we still lost.
Rob. Yeah. Oh.
So that was fun.
Okay, guys, mine, I don't know if your high school ever did a dodgeball tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But ours was very, very intense. 10 guys, 10 girls. You had to have, two teachers on the team.
That's a lot.
And it was essentially like a March Madness bracket. We would do it in March, and it was single elimination. And my junior year, we were the Bad News Ball Droppers. That was our name. And we were going against my cousin's team. They were the seniors. We were the juniors. And we beat them. And that is like my biggest claim to fame. Like, if you went to our high school and you win the dodgeball tournament, like, it's intense. And then the seniors they never won it because we beat them. Usually a senior team wins, but we beat them, so they didn't get it their senior year, which sucks. And my cousin was on the team, so it makes it even better. And we probably cheated, but everybody does, so it's okay.
Probably cheated.
Well, if you get hit, you know, in the foot or something and nobody sees, then
is
you
there
just,
no official?
Oh, no. We have Army people there who are officiating this, so it's pretty intense. But yeah, claim to fame, the Shenandoah Dodgeball Tournament. Definitely mine.
I like that.
Okay, switching back to non-sports, guys. Obviously, I started my new gig as a professor this week. So if both of you could teach one subject, but not a non-traditional class, what would you teach?
Avoiding venereal disease.
Wait, what? Joe would teach buzzes and herpes.
So the text line's really
I've lost
right
control
now,
on the program today. Really trying to rein this thing back in, and it's not being successful.
So, okay, so non-traditional.
Yeah, you'd make the course.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't even get into anything that wasn't like journalism related. You know what I mean?
How to grill a burger. That's what I'm teaching you. We're going to do burgers. We're going to do chicken. We're going to do fish.
That's life skills.
I can teach you how to grill some different things. Proper grill etiquette. Grilling 101 in college. That's the subject I'm teaching.
I like that, Rob.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would.
I would absolutely take that class. I don't suppose making a bong out of an apple would be a good class.
I continue to lose control here on the program.
Joe is off the rails today.
I don't have a, I mean, it would be maybe something to do with like specifically interviewing people, although you guys have heard my interviewing skills. You don't have to be good at stuff to teach it, right? Come on.
No.
Mine would be social skills, teaching people how to, I feel like a lot of our Rex rants surround around this, you know, just being socially aware of certain things in society.
Good idea.
Right? There you go. Because a lot of people are unaware. Okay, finally, lastly, we've talked about this a little bit this week. Vrabel versus Dan Campbell. Who do you have with the slight edge in a fight?
I mean, I'm going Vrabel. I mean, I think, first off, I think it's close. I think, which was the sports book that had Campbell at minus 220? It's absurd. That's way too heavy of a favorite. I just think Vrabel, number one, he's a big guy. There's not a big size difference between Vrabel and Campbell. I think Vrabel, if push comes to shove, could be way meaner if he wanted to be. So I'm going Vrabel.
I'm gonna disagree. I agree that the line was too tilted, but I'm gonna go Campbell. I agree that Vrabel's meaner, maybe a little bit bigger, stronger. But you know what? I think Campbell's a loose cannon, man. And I just feel like if that guy snaps, I don't know what might happen. I got to go with the guy who I just don't know exactly where things might go with him. I think with Vrabel, you got a certain level of consistent meanness.
Hey, did you see the story where Dan Campbell apparently just eats like 2 to 3 pints of ice cream every night?
I love that.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but I'm excited to read it. Dan Pompey, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a superstar, man.
Yeah, no question.
Michelle? Joe, I agree with you. I'm giving the slight edge. It'll be a close fight, but I'm giving the slight edge to Dan Campbell. I think he's a little bit more unhinged with the biting kneecaps, the extra large espresso drinks, and the ice cream. There's just something about his little dog mentality, I guess you could say. And Hard Knocks has really unveiled all of that.
Vrabel in the underdog role. I'll take my chances.
Oh, there you go,
Rob. I'm going to Vrabel.
This show has just called out Mike Vrabel.
Don't say this show. You too.
True.
2-1, majority rules, man.
You too.
We're a democracy.
My goodness. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can catch it every Wednesday morning at 8:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll catch up with Bob Kravitz from The Athletic. Get the latest coming out from the Indianapolis Colts in training camp, including an injury with the Colts yesterday as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is sharing the message that connection is crucial because good relationships are an essential and sometimes overlooked component of mental well-being. If your relationships could use some strengthening, a licensed therapist from Talkspace can help. Therapy can help you communicate better with loved ones, repair conflicts, and understand how to address loneliness and build community. It's easy to sign up. Just go to Talkspace.com and you'll be paired with a therapist within 2 days. You'll meet with your therapist online on your schedule. Plus, Talkspace is in network with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Make personal connections a priority and start today. If you're not covered by insurance, get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.